Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. And as I've said to you so many times, but I mean it every time, I pray that it is food for you. God's word is like a rich banquet beyond all telling. His scripture teaches us so much. It can lead us in the right direction in so many ways. Open your hearts, and even if you can only read a few verses a day, but stay on the same book till you complete that book. Don't just do it scatterwise, one book and then another book. Just take whatever, if you can, the readings for the day, and just read even a paragraph in the morning or one in the afternoon or the evening. Just read God's word, because God's word is living, it's active, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. His word is the source of truth for us. Trust him, please. Today we look at the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians, chapter 2, verses 6 to 15. Brothers and sisters, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him. In other words, join yourself to him. Walk in him, rooted in him, and built upon him, and established in the faith as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one captivate you with an empty, seductive philosophy, according to the tradition of men, according to the elemental powers of the world, and not according to Christ. Don't listen to them. Those are my words. For in him dwells the whole fullness of the deity bodily, and you share in this fullness of him, in him who is the head of every principality and power. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not administered by hand, by stripping off the carnal body with the circumcision of Christ. You were buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. And even when you were dead in transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he brought you to life along with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, obliterating the bond against us with its legal claims, which was opposed to us. He also removed it from our midst, nailing it to the cross, despoiling the principalities and the powers. He made a public spectacle of them, leading them away in triumph by it. The Lord has shown us. Read my word daily. Follow me closely. Go to Holy Communion at least once a week. Go to confession as often as you should. Please, let's follow him, brothers and sisters. Please. The Lord is compassionate toward all his works. And that's true. He's compassionate toward us. He will always forgive. But we need to see where we're wrong and confess it to the Lord and know the blessing that he bestows on us. I will extol you, O my God and King. I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day will I bless you. I will praise your name forever and ever. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness. The Lord is good to all and compassionate toward all his works. Let all your works give you thanks, O Lord, and let your faithful ones bless you. Let them discourse of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might. The Lord is compassionate toward all his works. In a sense, we are the works of his hands too. He brought us to life. So let's praise him and thank him and know that he will forgive us when we return to him and ask for forgiveness, whatever we've done. At any time, he will give it to us. That's the mercy of our God. Now we take a look at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verses 12 to 19. Jesus departed to the mountain to pray, and he spent the night in prayer to God. When day came, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he named apostles: Simon, whom he named Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon who was called a Zealot, and Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. He knew what would happen, but he appointed him. He gave him a chance to return, to come back to the Lord. And he came down with them and stood on a stretch of level ground. A great crowd of his disciples and a large number of the people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the coastal region of Tyre and Sidon came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And even those who were tormented by unclean spirits were cured. Everyone in the crowd sought to touch him because power came forth from him and healed them all. Think of that. Look at the kindness of God toward his people. Look at the ways he provided for them and helped them. He asked of him that they would come and follow him. He asked them to follow him. Some of them did. Some of them did all the time. Some of them backed away at some point. But at this time, they all loved him and followed him. And I want to close with this. Francis Xavier Nguyen Van Thuan. This was a Vietnamese person who was imprisoned by the government for 13 years, during which time he secretly sent prayers and spiritual writings to his flock. Think of this. He's a cardinal, he's imprisoned, and he still sends prayers and writings to his flock to protect them, to strengthen them. Think of that. He died in 2002, and I remember that so clearly. Brothers and sisters, he's now venerable. I think he'll be a saint because Vietnam went through some very, very difficult times, and he was faithful. He writes in this prayer, "Prayer is the breath of the soul. Without prayer, the soul suffocates. Through prayer, I live in you, Lord. I live in you as a baby in its mother's womb, with its breath united to hers and its heart beating in rhythm with hers. Lord Jesus, you are my model. The gospel portrays you as praying an entire night on the mountain. You prayed before working your miracles, before choosing your apostles, and during the Last Supper. You prayed as you sweat blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. You prayed during your agony on the cross. You, the incarnate Word, prayed also with Scripture. Your existence was of one continuous prayer. You turned toward your Father with a loving heart, and everything was in the service of God's glory. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. You ardently awaited the coming of your hour in order to accomplish your sacrifice of love. You said, I and the Father are one. Pray without growing weary. I always do what pleases my Father. You help me to understand that unceasing prayer is communion with the Father. Unceasing prayer is communion with the Father. In practice, it always consists in doing God's will. Think of that. That was his life. That was his life. He died in 2002. And I just remember thinking how much I mourned with those people when he died, because he was a marvelous man. He stood against all difficulties. Really. He was very, very much what he was called to be. He really protected his people and guided his people and loved them. Brothers and sisters, we need to do the same. You don't become a saint and then you do all these things. You do these things that you might become a saint. Do you, as parents, pray for your children every night before you sleep? Do you pray for one another? Do you pray for your own needs as you know them? For heaven's sakes, and I really mean that, for heaven's sake, do that. It can be 5 minutes or 3 minutes. If you're so exhausted, God understands that. But don't let that be an excuse not to pray. Give God a little time before you sleep. And when you awake, say hello to Jesus and begin another day, for he loves you. And brothers and sisters, even when we go through great difficulties, even when we're unjustly treated, even when the difficulties seem to be beyond us, turn to him and say, oh yeah, I prayed a Hail Mary today, or I prayed, no. Spend 5 minutes just sitting before the Lord. Close with an Our Father. Close with a whole Hail Mary. But first of all, just talk to Jesus. That's your prayer. Talk to him. Tell him what you're going through. Tell him what you need. Say, Lord, please, please help me. I can't promise when he will do it or how he will do it, though I would love to. But I can't tell you that because I don't know. But he will hear you, and he will answer your prayer in some way. We need to trust our God more and to rely on him. He's not the last-ditch effort we go to. Go to him first. Go to him in the middle of it. Go to him if it continues to get worse. Just keep going to him. And when he has answered that prayer, then, oh, brothers and sisters, take time to thank him. Don't just say, oh, yeah, God, yeah, God, yeah, I did pray. No. Take 5 minutes. I'm not saying you have to, but something like that, to just thank God for hearing your prayer and for helping you. May God abundantly bless you.
For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.